Personalized ads help businesses like yours connect with interested customers. So show your support for small businesses by advocating for personalized ads. Get started by visiting fb.me/deserve-to-be-found. This message brought to you by Facebook.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, December 27th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. A year ago, a lot of us thought we'd be back at the office full-time by now, with staffing back at pre-pandemic levels. Instead, not only are most of us still working from home, but record numbers of employees have quit their jobs in search of higher salaries. And as we've talked about a lot this year, that means companies are looking to fill millions of open positions.
As long as the stock market's up and unemployment's low, you're going to see that companies are going to bend over backwards to do whatever they can to attract people.
But for how long? On today's show, we'll talk with Tom Gimbel, CEO of the LaSalle Network staffing firm, about what the labor market will look like in 2022. That's after the break.
CrowdStreet, the largest online real estate investing platform, gives investors like you access to institutional quality opportunities across the country, from multifamily and industrial warehousing to self-storage and senior living. See how easy it can be to invest in real estate at CrowdStreet.com.
One of the biggest trends affecting people's finances in 2021 was the jobs gap. There are millions more job openings than there are people to fill them. That's put power in the hands of workers. So what can we expect in 2022? Here to talk about it is Tom Gimbel, CEO of the LaSalle Network staffing firm. Tom, thanks so much for being here.
Great to be with you, JR.
So Tom, a year ago, the feeling among employers was after 6 to 8 months of lockdowns and working from home, companies were going to be able to define their culture in 2021 and not let employees dictate where they want to work. Where does that balance of power stand going into 2022?
Well, very differently 90 days ago than it is today with the Omicron strand and what's going on. There's a lot of unknown. And what a lot of companies have done now is they've pushed back and they've sent everybody home for the rest of December and hoping that this will unfold in a more positive light. I'm really confident in the fact that companies really ebb and flow with employee wants, and that, you know, we look at things as a mass employment situation, but it's really not that way. And that companies look at individual situations, and JR is going to be allowed to do X because he has this skill set, and Tom's not going to be allowed to do Y because he doesn't have that skill set. And I think companies realize right now that we are in this finite moment where the economy is going gangbusters and companies can make a lot of money and take market share and roll out new products. And they're willing to invest in their people in order to do that because they don't know if it'll last 18 months or 3 years. And so what we're seeing is companies are willing to truly go crazy for good talent and let the tail wag the dog a little bit right now. The smart employee realizes that, takes advantage of it where they can, but doesn't abuse the relationship.
You know, in addition to the rapid rise of the Omicron variant, something else that caught a lot of people by surprise this year was the Great Resignation, the record number of people leaving their jobs for better pay or a better work flexibility. Do you see that continuing in the new year?
Well, the interesting thing of where we're at, JR, is there's an intersection between fear of COVID, supply chain problems, low unemployment, and then you have this employees or employers or who's in charge. And so I think with the Great Resignation, you're going to still have people, as long as unemployment's at record low, that people are going to feel they have the opportunity to do what they want. And I think that probably lasts through the second quarter of next year.
Now, LaSalle Network polled hiring managers and executives across the country. What are the biggest challenges they're facing in trying to recruit talent?
So the number one issue is compensation requirements. What we've seen is, due to the tech companies, due to the stock market being so high, there's a lot of cash that companies have right now. And the big, huge technology-driven companies, they have the funds to be able to pay salaries that are 20, 30, even 50% sometimes above where traditional companies are. So trying to understand a compensation structure that is really insane combined with low unemployment. However, what you usually see when this sort of thing is going on, JR, is lower level people getting hired in higher volumes, meaning recent college graduates are going to get there. There won't be any unemployment for recent college graduates. They're going to be in very high demand.
Now, one point of frustration for companies that we've talked about on the show before is candidates dropping out during the interview process. People are calling it ghosting. Why is that happening? And is that something new?
Yeah, one of the big problems that companies are seeing is that somewhere during the interview process, candidates just go away. And what we've got is there's this, it's kind of what's going on in society overall of this entitlement factor and saying, you know, a company may not follow up with every candidate that applies for a job because you get hundreds of candidates that'll apply for a job and a lot of them aren't qualified to begin with. And if you spend all your time following up, you're not going to get through the process to hire anybody. Well, candidates are starting to say, well, if companies can do that to me, why can't I do it to them? And they don't understand the long game here of it's not just about today, it's about the future. And you want to have good relationships with people, even if you don't accept their job or go work for them. And to drop an email or to leave a message for somebody goes a long way to being a real professional. But we are seeing a lot of people, similar to what you read about or see on Twitter or whatever in the dating world, of people just ghosting somebody and not wanting to have the confrontation. And that's the problem we live in the society, JR. And now it's come into business and interviewing, is that people don't like confrontation. So instead of owning up to it, they just avoid it.
So I want to ask, as companies compete for workers and they deal with high turnover rates, how's that likely to change how they invest in their existing workforce in the new year?
So the number one area that companies plan to increase spend outside of salaries is learning and development, training. And so they realize that in order to attract people, young, old, and everything in between, they've got to invest in their career. That somebody's going to say, in addition to getting a paycheck, in addition to getting a job that you want, we're going to invest in you and make you a better professional as a result of being here. And that's really the sell that people are doing. In addition, we're seeing that with remote work and the flexibility is how to balance having people in the office to create a culture, but also giving them the flexibility to work remotely from time to time. And so those are really the two balancing areas.
Yeah, I want to ask you about perks and benefits packages. Those are becoming more important to employees. How is that fitting into this higher investment by companies?
What's going on now from a corporate perspective is it's a fight for talent. And that is over and over again, I keep saying, it's because unemployment is so low. And that is while this economy is on fire right now. And again, if the stock market continues to dip and if we have situations with supply chain, if COVID doesn't go away, you're going to see that companies won't be growing as fast. Unemployment will increase. And then you'll see that the perks and the flexibility will start to wane a little bit. As long as the stock market's up and unemployment's low, you're going to see that companies are going to bend over backwards to do whatever they can to attract people.
And what have company leaders told you regarding their investments specifically in salaries?
What they look at now is overall package. So that includes what the benefits are, what the retirement is, and the skill classification. So what companies are saying now is if somebody's got everything we want, there's almost no limit to what they'll pay. So if somebody's got all the skills in the world and a stable resume and experience, and they make $125,000, that person could probably easily get $150,000, $160,000, $170,000. Where you're going to have problems is, and this happens in any strong economy, is that the average worker begins to think that they're at the same level as the superior employee. And they try to negotiate for more, and eventually they push the level too high and they end up being unemployed.
But when you talk to companies about salaries, is there a concern that we're in some sort of an arms race and it can only go so high?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you're seeing that now, that companies, whether it's professional services firms or certain type of tech companies, or if it's private equity backed versus VC backed, where they're saying, you know, we've got to change our model. We can't pay this exorbitant amount, which is why you're seeing the quit rate. So somebody might be making a certain amount of money and they'll say, you know what? I'll sit out for 6 months because I know I can get a job because I'm really talented. And so you're seeing that certain companies aren't willing to keep paying forever and ever and ever, whatever the going rate is. And that's why what'll end up happening is similar to the startup community. You're going to see them go to young people and they're going to go to recent college graduates and they'll say, we'll get scrapes and cuts and bruises with young people, but we'll have so much more money in the kitty to be able to take advantage of situations versus going and overpaying for other people.
So what about internal recruiting or companies promoting people from within their existing staff? How does the competition for workers affecting existing staff and their workload and managers trying to keep them in place fit into this equation?
So it's a real challenge. And the best companies and the clients that we advise, it's re-recruit your staff. And what we mean by that is, you know, you've got to make sure that your current people feel appreciated. You've got to make sure that they know that you're listening to what they're saying, they're feeling challenged, and that if somebody new comes in, they're not the flavor of the month, that you don't forget the existing staff. And that's part of the culture of getting people. They've been working hard for almost 2 years now in COVID as we've gone through this rocket ship of economy. And whether it's multiple Zoom meetings every day or coming into the office or whatever they're doing, it's really important to acknowledge it and appreciate it and make sure that you're career pathing for your internal staff. And what career pathing is mapping out over the next 2 to 3 years where people's careers can go, promotions, laterals, special projects, opportunities of how they fit into the big vision, the long game of the company.
All right, that's LaSalle Network CEO Tom Gimbel. Tom, thanks so much for taking the time to chat.
Always good to be with you, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John Emschweiler from the Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.